It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
And a good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramo here in the studio this morning. Dick Newman with the day off. And we're going to jump right into the coaches' show. I have Dylan Erickson on the phone with me. Dylan's the head coach for the La Caprile Valley girls basketball team. And, Dylan, cold weather this week. You got a couple games in.
Good morning.
Yeah.
You know, we've been spoiled the last couple of years. You know, we haven't seen a lot of snow or really tough weather, you know, until... you know, after Christmas, obviously, usually, but, you know, now this year they're going to get blessed with a bunch of snow and some cold weather early, and we're on the road a ton, so we get to do it on a, bouncing on a bus wherever we're going, but that's all right. It's good to get some games in and get going here.
Yeah, I think the last, you mentioned you're on the road a lot. You're on the road a lot early in the season here, aren't you?
Yeah, we only have the two home games, next Friday against Dawson at home, and the following week Thursday we got McCray at home, and that's it before the first of the year.
Yep.
Otherwise, we're on the road the rest of the way. So hopefully, you know, we're learning early and we're doing it on the road, and I guess we're doing both at the same time, which isn't probably a bad thing either. Is getting our figuring ourselves out a little bit and doing it on the road. At the same time isn't probably the worst thing.
Yep. All right, let's talk about your two games you had this week.
Sure. So Tuesday we traveled, like you said, we traveled to Kirkhoven to play KMS, team that returned a few pieces from last year's 20-plus win team, and, you know, they just ran into a Minnewaska, New London Spicer type look in the playoffs, you know, with them bouncing up to the AA level. But really nice team nice year they came off of, and I figured they'd, you know, kind of continue with that from the first year or from last year. And they have the Hacker girl and a Wagner girl, two really good guards, and then the Silas girl too to go alongside, and they got a 6'1" freshman post in the inside, and then they got some pieces they can bring in, and they just got a really nice team again, led by Hacker. You know, she actually broke the record at the school there,
that all-time scoring record.
Yeah, the all-time scoring for boys and girls, over 1,600 points. So she's been a really nice player for them. But, again, kind of the same story as our Minnewaska game, is they come out in the full-court press, and, you know, the first 4 or 5 minutes we played right with them, you know, it was back and forth, not a lot of scoring going on, but we were able to handle ourselves. And then kind of once a couple mistakes kind of happened in a row, it was kind of just a domino effect, and we had multiple turnovers in a row, and all of a sudden they broke the game open pretty big, and we ended up going into halftime down 46-16 just like that. And like I said, they didn't score a lot of their points, especially in either half. You know, in the half court, when we did get to half court, we could score and play with them, and we made them work offensively on the try score. But again, they scored a lot of points. We had more turnovers and points again for two games in a row, and not going to win many games or any games doing that. And they took a lot of 2-3 dribbles and got to the rim and scored in transition. Probably, I would say, at least 50 of their 77 points.
Yep,
they scored in transition, and, you know, just not going to win that way. And another lesson for our young guards to learn in our posts and things to kind of mesh in timing. And, you know, kind of our thing, like I said on the radio on Thursday, is, you know, we're trying to play quick but not in a hurry, and trying to make these decisions and the reads early so the ball's not in the air so long and floating out there, and, you know, these girls can recover that much quicker and those windows close that much quicker. And when you have to do it under some bigger pressure, longer arms, more athletic, you know, it just, the whole thing needs to come together, and it's just going to take time. There's going to be some growing pains with that, but these girls never quit and never give up, and so we ended up dropping that one to KMS 77-31. But again, a good test for us will be next time around we play them, how we can handle that pressure, and I think we can give them a much better test the next time around.
All right, stats on the game, Dylan?
Yeah, Maya Sawatsky, our freshman guard, led us with 12 points, 3 rebounds, an assist, and 3 steals. Aiden Bond had a bucket and 4 rebounds, an assist, and 2 steals. Brooklyn Olsen had 4 points, 9 rebounds, an assist, and a steal. Callie Conn had 11 points and 15 boards, assist and 3 steals. Eva Traeger had a bucket for us, and a steal and an assist. Casey Tweet had a couple rebounds, an assist, and a steal. And a couple girls got, Reese and Sophie each had a rebound apiece, and Ash and Shelstead had a steal. So, just like I said, it's going to be, it's just going to take some time for us to kind of find our way a little bit, and I'm looking forward to when they do start growing. And, you know, I think moving forward onto Thursday, I think we did, you know, traveling to Ortonville. I know you were there too, and you know Ortonville is kind of in the same boat as us a little bit. They have some older kids, but new coach, and they're trying to kind of figure themselves out a little bit. And but it was really nice for our girls to, you know, get some confidence, I think, on Thursday and see some things work in the half court, and you know, not have to be under so much pressure the entire night, and we're able to kind of get some rhythm and get in sync and get some confidence on Thursday against Ortonville.
Yep.
We kind of came out and got things going right away and moved the basketball well. We made a lot of, you know, the score, yeah, we scored a lot of points, but we actually didn't score a lot in transition, you know, layup after layup. It was, we had to work hard for our buckets, you know, at times, and made some tough shots and got some things to fall for us. And it was nice just kind of to work all the way through our offense a little bit so all the girls could kind of see that happen and see it unfold and what it could look like, even whether it's, you know, against an Ortonville or if it's against, you know, the pressure of a Minnewaska and how we can handle ourselves and how that kind of works and things like that.
Yep. Yeah. I tell you, you know, I broadcasted the game and I told you in the post game show, Dylan, man, you're playing a lot of young girls on varsity, and those young girls are very, very talented, athletic basketball players, and it's just going to take some time, you know, to mature and stuff. And yeah, the turnovers were a little issue there, but. I think you got a really good team coming up here.
Yeah, we got an exciting group. You know, for me, it's, you know, wins are great and stuff, but it's such a great group of kids. It's a really fun group to be around, and they're really, like, internally driven kids, too, and so they want to get better, and they're committed, and they're, you know, they're really competitive girls, and, you know, that's really fun to coach, and every night they play hard, and they give me a ton of efforts, and it's never in question there. And so as a coach, I mean, you can't really ask for a lot more than that. And you know, with how competitive they are and driven, they're only going to get better and better and better, and because they're not going to allow themselves to, they don't like to show up and have 30 plus turnovers a night and lose by 30. You know, that's that gets old, and they're not going to allow that to happen. They're just young and they're finding their way, and once they continue to keep finding their groove a little bit and keep playing together, they're only going to get better, and I'm excited for that and the future, too, that some of these girls are going to bring some good leadership as we move forward, too, and hopefully we can get back to being, you know, competitive night in and night out. And so, yeah, just really excited and proud of this group, too, is how they battled through the first few games here with, you know, not being easy and a couple of really tough opponents, too.
Okay. Stats on the night against Ortonville?
Yeah, again, Maya Sawatsky led us in scoring with 23 points. 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 5 steals. Aiden Bond had a really nice night. You know, she kind of handled the ball quite a bit, but she made a lot of tough buckets and finishes and kind of got beat up a little bit out there with some physicality, but she handled herself and got to the line. And I'm just really, really proud of how she's been handling herself through these first few games, too, and just never backs down from anybody, and, you know, maybe being a little undersized and young and does a really nice job. And she's gritty and tough, so I'm excited to have her with the ball in her hands for a long time here. And she had 19 points, a rebound, 8 assists, and 6 steals. Brooklyn Olsen had 6 rebounds, an assist, and a steal for us. Callie Conn had a really nice first half, especially even in the second half. She had 22 points, 15 rebounds, an assist, and 6 steals as well. She had some really nice quick decisions, not in a hurry, moves under the basket, and we just need that effort and that, you know, activity out of her every single night. Eva Traeger had 4 points, 5 rebounds, an assist, and 2 steals. Casey Tweet had 6 points, a rebound for us. Sophie Hewitt had a rebound and an assist. Deacon Conroy got in there and had a steal. Ashton Shelstead came in, and coming cold off the bench, that's not very easy. And she came in and had 7 points, one for one for the 3-point line, and 2 for 2 from the free throw line. She had 7 points and 2 rebounds and a steal. And then Raya Borstedt had a couple steals for us as well, getting the first varsity action just coming out this year. So good team effort. We ended up coming away with a 81-12 win. And, yeah, just hopefully this gives us a plenty of confidence going forward. So
good.
When we move into some more different level of competition, that we can carry some of this confidence in and go compete.
Okay, how'd JV do this past week?
JV, they got a really nice win against KMS. They pulled out a really nice win there. Kind of a really tight, close game there. So good for those girls to get that experience too, being in situations like that and how to handle themselves and, you know, how to being young too, being in those situations just only helps you going forward too. And then against Ormanville, missing a couple girls there, but some girls stepped up and, you know, we led for the majority of that game until about the last, I don't know, 30, 40 seconds, I suppose it was, and we had a few turnovers down the stretch they scored out of, and then we got it across half, we turned it over again, they come down, knock down a three, and end up dropping that one by one to Ortonville in the last seconds there. That was kind of a tough one to let slip, but again, a lot of lessons and stuff learned in that one, and you know, that probably won't happen the next time, and they just got to be able to close the game out, and you know, learning how to win, it's not easy, and but it's a good way to learn.
Okay. Well, I'm just looking at your schedule here. It's brutal. The first three, four games you play open up with Minnewaska. They're state-ranked. KMS remains undefeated at 3-0. And now you jump right back in the fire with state-ranked Central Minnesota Christian on Tuesday.
Yeah, we're going to have our hands full there. They got pretty much everybody back, but maybe a post player for them from, you know, I know they were hoping probably to do what McCray did last year, and it'll be a tough battle for them again this year, but they just got a well-rounded, deep team that, you know, been playing together now for about 3 years at least, and led by the Dummett girl who can kind of control the game on her own, and then they got an older girl, and they're really solid, they're fast, they're athletic, they can shoot it. They like to get up and down the floor. They're going to put a ton of pressure at us. They got a lot of length, so we might see some zones too and have to work through that. But we're not going to back down from anybody. We're going to go out and play as hard as we can and give the effort and try to get better and see what happens. And maybe a few balls will go our way this time, and we can stay in this game and be competitive. And you never know what might happen. And then, like I said, we're still on the road, and we go to Wabasso on Tuesday, which was a good battle for us last year. And I'm hoping the same thing this year, and then we're at home against our rivals or our neighbors, Dawson, which should be a really good game too. So if everyone can come out to one of our few home games before the first of the year, mm-hmm. I would say mark that one on your calendar and come out and support the girls, and it should be a really good atmosphere and a really fun game on a Friday night.
All right, real good, Dylan. Appreciate the report this morning, and I'll be out there next Friday with the Dawson game, and should be fun.
Awesome. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you covering us. Go
yep.
Eagles.
All right. Dylan Erickson, head coach of the La Caprile Valley girls basketball team. We'll take a commercial break. Be right back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years. Since 1994, the Country Butcher in Dawson has offered a variety of retail meats, sausages, jerky, and snack sticks. For over 20 years, they've served farmers and customers with custom meat processing for beef, hogs, lamb, and venison. They look forward to serving you with all your butchering and meat needs into the future. Country Butcher, right downtown Dawson, owned and operated by Kip Stender. Stop in, check out the specials, or give them a call for information at 320-769-2238. That's the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Let's take a look at some things happening around the area this weekend. Today, St. Peter's CCW in Canby will be holding their annual Christmas cookie and candy sale. That'll be from 9 to noon at St. Peter's Catholic Church.
Sales held in the hallway between the church and the school, so it's handicap accessible. Door prizes will be given away. Let the ladies from St. Peter's do your Christmas baking for you today. Montevideo Creatives will be hosting their annual holiday market from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. today at the Hollywood Theater, downtown Montevideo. Sunday, the Lac Parle County Museum will have their Christmas program. The doors open at 1 p.m. with the program at 2. Enjoy an afternoon of Christmas music, sneak previews of a Christmas carol presented by the Lac Parle Players, and letters to Santa. Apple cider and treats will be served after the program at the museum Sunday. Also on Sunday, Catholic United Financial sponsoring Jackpot Bingo at St. Leo Catholic Church. Lunch begins at noon, warm-up games at 12:30, jackpot games at 1:30. Tickets are $15. There will be $200 and $300 jackpot games plus 18 $50 games. An announcement on some worship services for the BAMC churches. No worship at the Appleton United Methodist Church on Sunday. There will be no worship in Bellingham at the United Methodist Church on Sunday or Correll United Methodist. The United Church of Christ Marietta in Nassau will have worship at 11 a.m. on Sunday, so make note of those changes. It's Saturday, December 6th. We say happy birthday today to Kathy Wolfslager, Galen Jager, Signe Olson, Judy Rosendahl, Carmen Kellen, Michael Lee, Kathy Tilbury, Diane Engelson. Sunday, happy birthday to Kristen Tobias, Julie, Mrs. Drew Olson, Bob Lee, Matthew Bramer, Brennan Abernathy, my neighbor Don Tweet. And happy anniversary on Sunday to Gay and Audrey Pleasner, 68 years this year. Hope you all have a great day and a super weekend.
It's a hometown holiday in Canby. Join the celebration Friday, December 5th, Saturday the 6th, and Sunday the 7th with fun, festive activities all weekend long. The highlight of the weekend, the Parade of Lights, Sunday night, downtown at 6 p.m. And right after the parade, gather at Lake Sylvan for the tree lighting and a spectacular fireworks display. Bring the family, bring the cheer, and make memories in Canby this holiday season. For a full list of events, visit the Canby Chamber Facebook page. Don't miss hometown holidays, only in Canby. Sponsored by the Canby Chamber of Commerce.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to La Caparo Valley Boys Basketball with first-year head coach Joel Voorhees. And Joel, how's the first year going so far?
Well, I'm having a lot of fun, and guys are working hard. I'm having a blast.
That's
so, yeah.
That's good.
I think it's going well so far.
You had a very busy week this week, didn't you?
Yeah, we started out with three tough games.
With
three tough games.
Yep.
Starting at Border West and on Monday, and Montevideo on Tuesday, and finishing up with KMS on Friday.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the Border West game, Joel.
Okay. Well, the Border West game, we started out pretty well. It's a five-point game at halftime, so I was very impressed how we handled a little bit of their full-court pressure. It was interesting to see that how much firepower we came out with.
Mm-hmm.
So that first half was just tremendous. Second half, it kind of got away from us a little bit and snowballed, and ended up losing by about 20 points, 56 to 76.
Okay. You got any stats there in front of you, Joel?
Yeah. Finishing with our high man was Nolan Smith. He had a nice game with 14 points, two assists, four rebounds, two steals, and he did finish with six turnovers. And then we had a couple guys with 9 points apiece. Elias Alonzo was perfect on the night with 9 points on 3-for-3 shooting and 3-for-3 free throws, 9 rebounds, assists, 2 steals, 1 turnover, and 4 blocks. So Elias showed a lot of potential that night. And then Tanner Tilbury had 9 points on 4-of-8 shooting, 1-of-2 from the line, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 3 turnovers, and he had 3 blocks. So it was nice to see those two pitching in around the hoop and trying to protect the whole, the hole. Caden Stender had 9 points on 3-for-6 shooting from the field and 2-for-4 from three-point line, 4 rebounds, and an assist, 2 steals, 2 turnovers. And then finishing up, we had Grant Bierke with 6 points on 3-for-10 shooting from the field, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. He did have 6 turnovers. He's learning this point guard and handling this pressure well, but we need to start limiting those turnovers down. Thomas Emmes had 5 points on 1-for-5 shooting from the field and 1-for-5 shooting from 3-point, 2-for-2 from the line, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. And Tanner Callis had 2 points and 4 rebounds, an assist and a steal, and 5 turnovers. So that's how the Border West game ended up.
Okay. All right. How'd JV do, Joel? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was good for both the JV and the C squad over in Border West. They had 2 nice victories over there. So
okay.
It was nice to see the youngs. Yeah, the young teams are showing a lot of potential.
Okay. All right, and then last Tuesday, a very good, well, they were in the state basketball tournament last year. The Montevideo Thunderhawks visited the Eagle's Nest.
Yeah, the Montevideo Thunderhawks came to town.
Yeah.
It was a good first start to the game. We had a great high-energy atmosphere in the gym. I think we even had a little bit of a tie game, 7 minutes into the game, eight minutes, 7-7. And then, yeah, we kind of had a little problem with their pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to mention, Joel, the first 6 minutes of the game, I think you even had a lead there for a bit. But, man, the Lockport crowd was into it. The gym was just a rocking there. You didn't turn the ball over. You scored. You played good defense against a very good Thunderhawk offense. And, it was a lot of fun there.
Yep, and I told the guys at halftime that was the energy that we need with everybody playing that, and what an atmosphere.
Yep, it was. It was great. But Montevideo, they got some ballers, don't they?
Yeah, they're quick. They're long. Griffin Epema is a nice little point guard there.
Yep. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, the first half, and then what did you tell the guys at halftime?
Well, we started out pretty nice. We started out with going high energy and looking to pass and getting back on defense and just trying to withstand a little bit of their pressure by faking passes and seeing if we can find open passing lanes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. You got any stats there? What was the score? And any stats there, Joel?
Yes, 82 points, and we had 46. Leading the way for us, we had 2 with 9 points apiece, Gavin Tasto and Tanner Tilbury. Next on the scoring was Nolan Smith with 8, and then 6 points for Thomas Emmes, and 4 points for Grant Bierke, and 4 for Elias Alonzo and Tanner Callis, and Tucker Lyons. Got 2 points.
Okay. All right. And JV against Montevideo?
JV, it was a close game. Montevideo ended up pulling that one out. Same with C Squad. That was their only loss on the year so far.
Mm-hmm.
Was the Montevideo
okay.
Games.
All right. Yeah, I'm expecting Montevideo to go pretty deep into the section playoffs, maybe back to state even. So a very good team there you played against. That's how you get better, right? You got to play the good teams too, right?
Yeah, exactly, Paul. That's a lot of what I tell the guys is we need to play this high-level competition that will make us better.
Right.
Now, I know I need some work in molding these guys in practice and making the right decisions, but we definitely want to play the higher competition.
Mm-hmm. Good.
It'll help us out down the road.
Yep. Well, last night you traveled up to Kirkhoven, I believe.
Kirkhoven came to us.
Oh, Kirkhoven and Lac Brau. Yep. I'm sorry. Yep, yep. Okay. Well, how'd that work? How'd that go? And any stats on that game?
Hey, it started out a nice first half. 9-point game at half point or at halftime, and then in the second half, they got us on some turnovers, and we didn't have a lot of shot attempts on that second half. But all three first games, Border West, Montevideo, and KMS, we have had nice first halves. And then in the second half, we just need to find a way of withstanding that pressure and decision making.
Right. Maybe don't take a halftime then.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, Paul.
Okay. Yeah, stats on the game last night with KMS?
Yes. Leading the way for us was Thomas Amos, and he was, let's see here. Thomas had 12 points on the night to lead us for the scoring, and Grant Bierke had 9 points. Tanner Tilbury with 8 points, coupled with 3 points, Nolan Smith, Caden Stender, Tanner Callis, and Jackson Fernhall's got 2 points, and Elias Elonzo had 2 points.
Okay. JV last night?
JV had a nice win.
Okay.
So did C Squad.
All right.
So they're both 2-1 on the season so far.
Okay. Any more on the game last night that you'd like to mention, or we cover about everything there?
Well, I want to mention that Thomas Emmis had 5 assists on the night, and he also had a steal. He was kind of all over. He had a nice game for us last night, 2-for-3 on shooting threes. So it was nice to see him come out and run that point and show some potential going forward.
Good.
So that was a nice high point of the night. So I see us making progress and starting to get stuff going our way in the near future.
All right. What do you got coming up this week for the boys basketball team?
Well, we have 2 home games. We have Ortonville coming to us on Tuesday and Central Minnesota coming to us on Thursday.
Okay. All right, yeah, the Blue Jays always have a tough team, don't they?
Yep. So that'll be another hard game for us to manage, but talking things through in practice, and maybe we can make some minor adjustments and see if we can have a little success again with the Blue Jays, yep.
Okay. Now you got Ortonville on Tuesday, you said at home. So you get to stay home this week. That's good.
Yep. So we had a string of 4 home games, and then we're going to go on the road for a while.
Okay. All right. Joel, I appreciate the time this morning. Talking Lac Brau boys basketball, and good luck this week then.
Thank you again, Paul, for having me.
Yep. That's Joel Voorhees, head coach of the Lac Brau Valley boys basketball team. We'll take a commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk wrestling with head coach Hank Ireland after this. Come on over to Appleton at the Appleton Heritage Center. It's the Holiday Makers Market, 5th annual. Many vendors will be available with locally handmade Christmas gifts for your Christmas gift giving. November 21st and 22nd, and then November 28th and 29th, and December 5th and 6th. That's Friday and Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., located in Appleton Heritage Center, hosted by Appleton Art and Culture. I'm with Monica on Chestnut Street in Dawson. Monica, the holidays are here.
They sure are, Paul Ramo, and I'm going to be known for the holidays. I'm filling up with sweaters and boots and jackets and coats. And you name it for winter, I have it. Come on, have a dark chocolate sea salt caramel. Sign up for a free gift certificate during the holidays. And also, I have a free gift with purchase. I will be open Wednesday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 5, or by appointment. And like me on Facebook.
Team United Wrestling action Tuesday from Montevideo High School. Join Dick Newman and Danny Lee. 5 o'clock for a triangular. Team United will take on New London Spicer at 5 o'clock and wrestle Wilmer around 8 o'clock. Tuesday night, December 9th from Montevideo High School. That's Team United Wrestling with New London Spicer and Wilmer in a triangular. Tune in.
This is Kiana, and here at Greater Community Credit Union, we do what's best for our members, which means we offer competitive interest rates on our deposit accounts, such as savings, checking, and certificate of deposits and IRAs. Contact us today at 1-800-276-0025 for our current rates, or visit us online at greatercu.com, Greater Community Credit Union, because community matters. Member NCUA.
Peter and Vicki Strand of the Strand Agency in downtown Dawson look forward to helping you with all your farm, business, and auto insurance needs. Give Peter or Vicki a call today at 320-769-4410. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 to 5, and you can find them on Main Street, Dawson. That's the Strand Agency, Peter and Vicki Strand. Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to talk Team United Wrestling with Head Coach Hank Ireland. Good morning, Hank.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I thought you'd be sleeping in this morning. So yeah. Got back late last night, I bet.
Yeah, it was a late one.
Yeah. Couple late matches. Long road trips for you guys this week.
Yeah, we had probably our two of our longest road trips this week alone, so it's it's a long bus rides, but we got that out of the way at least.
Yeah, exciting to get the season started with your team.
Oh yeah, for sure. It was they're always antsy to get to that first duel, and then once you get there, then they're off and running.
Okay, all right. Fill us in. How Team United do this past week, Hank?
Yeah, well, we started on Monday. We had ninth grade league. That's junior high, seventh, eighth, and ninth graders in Dawson. There was six other teams there, and we had a lot of. Everyone got a win, I believe, so that was good for the ninth grade leaguers. They pair them up in, like, groups of four, and it's round-robin wrestle, so that was good. I know a lot of guys, Ivor Heinrich had a good matches. Lincoln Sancher went undefeated. Aaron Hernandez went undefeated, too, so it was a lot of great matches. Colin Rosendahl had a good match. A lot of great matches for those young kids, and it was in one of our home gyms, too, so good for those kids to get some matches in their home gym.
Right. Explain to our listeners how ninth grade league works. Do they have a regular wrestling schedule all season long then, or how does that work?
Yep, they have a different schedule. Usually they wrestle on Mondays, and then that's, like I said, it's just 7th, 8th, and ninth graders, and it's just something to get them matches, and then at the end of the year they have their own section tournament and team section tournament too, so it's kind of nice for the 7th, 8th, and ninth graders to have. They can set a goal, you know, to place in ninth grade league sections or to make it to the ninth grade league state or for the team to make it to state. So it's just another way for them to get matches and kind of be a part of that team aspect, too.
Yep. Nothing like experience being on the mat as many times as you can, right?
Yep, that's right.
All right. All right. Okay, go ahead.
And then Tuesday we made a, like you said, a long road trip to Mountain Lake. I don't think I've ever been there before, but that was a good long trip. Windham, it's Windham Mountain Lake, so they're one of our section opponents, so that's why we got them on the schedule. And there's a quad down there, so we started off against Blue Earth area, and they're a pretty tough team. I think they're one of the top teams in their section last year, so we didn't know, you never know what you're going to get or who's going to be at what weight first match of the year, so we just kind of said, let's go after them and see what we can do. And we started off with Matthew Boffin. He ended up losing by a pinfall at 107. At 114, we had Griffin Johnson. He won by a fall in 56 seconds. And at 121, Eli Olson got a pinfall. Then Braden Jaden got a pinfall at 127. And then Trent Boffin received a forfeit for Team United. Then Gavin Mortensen won by a major decision over a state entrant last year from Blue Earth area, so it was a good win for Gavin. Then Holland Shocker got a pinfall for us. Ben Gummickson got a pinfall for us. Cameron Sather got a pinfall for us. So, yeah, we kept rolling there. Then Alex Perez at 172 ended up getting pinned in the first period. And Brian Rohde got us back on track and got a pinfall for us. And then Gabe Lowry at 215 got a pin in the first period. And then we forfeited up at heavyweight. They had a big guy, and we didn't have anyone quite that size we wanted to put on him. So we forfeited to him. And the final score ended up being Team United 58, Blue Earth Area 18. So that was a good way to start the year and get our first victory.
Okay.
Then next we went against our section opponent, Wyndham Mountain Lake. So yeah, it was kind of our main goal, or our main duel that we focused on. Since it's a section opponent, we wanted to get our right matchups. And for sections, this might be the only time you see some of those guys, so it'll be nice to get wins over your common opponents.
Mm-hmm.
Then Matthew Boffin started off and got a forfeit for us. Then Griffin Johnson lost by major decision, 11-2 at 114. At 121, Eli Olson got a pin for us. Then Trent Boffin fought hard against a tough Matthew Vole from Wyndham and ended up getting pinned in the third period. Braden Jaden got a pinfall for us to get us back going. And Gavin Mortensen, Holland Shocker, got pinned for us. And then Ben Gummickson went against the state entrant last year, Cameron Corner. He's the guy Ben beat in the section finals last year, and Ben pinned him in the second period. That was a very good match.
Yeah.
Ben, I tried to roll with Ben, and Ben always ends up on top whenever you're trying to scramble or roll. So that was a good match for Ben to kind of assert his dominance there. And big, he might see that guy again down the road at section. So it's good to get the one notch up on him.
Mm-hmm.
Then Cameron Sather won by a pinfall. And then at 172, Christian Norenberg lost by a pinfall in the second period. Then Brian Rohde got a pin for Team United. And then at 215, we bumped Josh Kranz up in there, and he ended up getting pinned by a strong kid at 215. And at heavyweight, Gabe Lowry got a pin on the second period to make the final team score, Team United 54 and Wyndham Mountain Lake 22.
Good.
Then we went into our third.
Yeah, go ahead.
Third duel. They went into our third duel, and that was against Red Rock Central. And we knew their numbers are kind of down, so we kind of expected a few forfeits there. So, but we started off with Matthew Boffin. He ended up getting pinned in the first period at 107. Then Griffin Johnson and Eli Olson received forfeits. Then Trent Boffin got a win at 127, pinfall in the first period. Then Braden Jaden got a pinfall in 32 seconds. Gavin Mortensen received a forfeit. Holland Shocker got a pinfall in the first period. Ben Gummickson got a forfeit. Cameron Sather got a forfeit. Alex Perez got a forfeit. And then Brian Rohde, Josh Kranz, and Gabe Lowry ended the duel for us, but all getting wins. Brian and Josh got pins in the first period, and Gabe Lowry won a 10-5 decision to make the final score. Team United, 69. Red Rock Central, 6. So that was a great night of wrestling to go 3-0 to start your first duels of the year, scoring 50 plus points each one.
Awesome.
Yeah, and then we had a couple good days of practice on Wednesday, Thursday, and then, like you said, yesterday, Friday, we went to made another long trip to Howard Lake. They had a dual team tournament, so it was bracketed out and everything. So we ended up getting Howard Lake right away in the first round.
Okay, who's all there? Who's all there, Hank?
It was Howard Lake, Painesville, Holdingford, Staples Motley, Brainerd, and Moorhead. So yeah, I think every team was either ranked or in the lean and mean. So we knew it was going to be some tough duels, which is great to see where we're at to start off the year.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we started off against Howard Lake and Matthew Boffin. Went out there and got a tech ball. It was good to see Matthew get a tech at 107. Then at 114, Eli Olson ended up losing in overtime. he was up big early, and then I don't know if he wasn't feeling the best or whatever, but he turned pale white and was throwing up. So that was maybe it's something he ate or something. But yeah, tough way to lose that match in overtime after having a lead. Then at 121, Griffin Johnson ended up getting pinned. Then at 127, Braden Jaden won by a pinfall. 133, Gavin Mortensen won by a major decision. Then at 139, Kevin Izaguirre ended up getting pinned by tough Braden Graham from Howard Lake. At 145, Holland Shocker won by a pinfall. Then at 152, Ben Gumlickson won by a pinfall. And then at 160, Cameron Sather won by a pinfall. At 172, Alex Perez ended up losing by a fall. Then at 189, Josh Kranz ended up getting pinned in the second period there. Then at 215, Brian Rohde lost a close match against a tough opponent, ended up losing by two or three. It was a good match, but couldn't quite pull it out at the end. Then at heavyweight, Gabe Lowry lost by a 5-3 decision, so another close one. We lost two close ones at the end, and that ended up being the difference in the duel. Ended up being 33-33, but Howard Lake won by criteria since they won seven matches and we won six. So that was a very tight duel, very close one.
Wow.
Could have gone either way. That's what happens when you ruffle good teams, and can't get much closer than that. 33-33.
Good competition, but, then.
Yep, it was good competition. So we went and fell down to the loser's side of the bracket, and we ended up having a bye since Goodhue wasn't there. They were supposed to be there, but they were in the football championship, so they didn't make the trip quite yet. So we got a bye, and then we were going for the fifth place match, and we ended up going against Moorhead. So we started off with Matthew Bothan. He ended up getting pinned late in the match. Then at 115, Eli Olson got a pinfall for us. Then Griffin Johnson at 121 lost by a fall. At 127, Braden Jaden got another pinfall for us. I think Braden is 5-0 with five pins, so he's off to a great start as a kind of a first-year full-time varsity wrestler. He's been part-time here and there when he can, because he's had some tough upperclassmen ahead of him, but now he's finally getting his chance to get on the mat, and he's taking full advantage of that.
Who's that?
Braden to Jaden.
Okay.
He's a junior.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's off to a great start. And at 133, this was kind of the turning point in the duel. Gavin Mortensen was wrestling a tough opponent, and Gavin picked him up and went for a takedown, and he didn't do anything wrong, but the kid kind of flopped wrong and ended up landing on his head. And then he couldn't continue, so then the kid lands on his head. That's a penalty point. And then Gavin ended up getting DQ'd. So that was a big swing in the team points wise, but yeah, I talked to their coaches, and nothing Gavin did wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. He just, two tough wrestlers wrestling hard, and the kid just landed on his head. And
right.
Not much you can do. It's unfortunate. Part of the sport of wrestling, you know,
right.
It happens.
Yep.
It's a physical sport, and I think that kid was going to be all right. They took him off on a stretcher just precautionary reasons, hopefully. But yeah, so that was a big swing in the duel. Then at 139, Holland Shocker won by a tech fall. Then at 139. Yeah, then at 145, Ben Gumlickson won by a pinfall. At 152, Lincoln Sancher ended up getting pinned in the first period. Then at 160, Cameron Sather wrestled a tough kid from Moorhead who got fourth in state last year, and he lost by a decision. Was a strong kid up at Moorhead. Then at 172, Christian Norenberg was in a real close battle, ended up getting pinned late in the match. At 189, Brian Rohde won by a pinfall. And then at 215, Josh Kranz went up against pretty tough William Ward, who's state champ last year, and I think he's going to Arizona State to wrestle, so he's pretty tough kid, and Josh fought, but he ended up getting pinned on the match. And then at 285, Gabe Lowry, we bumped him up to heavyweight against the big kid, and he ended up getting pinned late in the match, making the final score, Team United 29, Moorhead 45. That was a very, very close duels, and like I said, could have gone either way a lot of the matches, and even the third and fourth place matches, the other semifinal matches, they were all tight, so any one of those. I think Holdingford made it to the finals and they lost to Staples. I think those two were the two top teams there. They were kind of a little bit above all the other teams, but any one of the other five teams definitely could have came in third or anywhere, any on any given day, they could have went any either way, either
right.
direction.
Right.
But yeah, we ended up going 0-2, but got a lot of good matches in and kind of gave us some more things that we can work on.
Right. I was just telling Joel Voorhees, Joel, you got to play good competition to get better, right?
Yep, those matches are the ones that are going to make you better.
Yep.
We talked to the boys afterwards, and we told them like a lot of the mistakes we're making are self-inflicting ones, making bad decisions, stopping on our knees when we shouldn't, and so all that is self-inflicting, so at least those are things that we can work on and we can build from, and it's early on in the season, you can tell we're not as sharp as we should be or we will be, so we got some work to do, but we'll get there, and it's a long season, so we got to put some good practices in and we'll be right where we need to be.
All right, what do you got coming up this week then, Hank?
This week, we got another busy week. Monday, the ninth grade league, they go to Wilmer to have another little round-robin tournament there for them. So they'll get 3-4 matches each, all those young kids. It'll be good for them. And then on Tuesday, we are in Montevideo, and we host New London Spicer, who is one of our section opponents, one of the top teams in our half, so that'll be a big duel. And then also Wilmer, who's ranked pretty high in AAA. I think they're 5 or 6 in AAA. So that'll be two good duels for us, and we're also going to do something with the youth. The elementary kids are going to wrestle against New London Spicer as well. We have 3 mats down, so one will be the JV, one will be the varsity, and another one will be the youth. So it'll be a busy night in Montevideo, and I think we'll do our senior night out there too as well. So it'll be a very, should be a fun, busy night.
Danny Lee will be over there broadcasting all the matches there, and they always look forward to doing that, covering you guys.
Oh, yeah. We love having them.
Yep.
And then after that, we have Saturday, we go to Barrett for our West Central Area invite, and there's 10 teams there. A couple of our conference opponents are there, so that'll be a big tournament for us. I think last year we got third, 2 years ago we got first in that tournament, so I think we'll be looking to win that tournament again here. That's varsity and JV, so all of our kids will be getting matches on Saturday, so lots of opportunity to get some mat time in for the boys this week. And then we're having our Softener Salt fundraiser should wrap up at least by the weekend. So if you ordered Softener Salt from the boys, you can expect them to deliver it sometime next week.
All right. Real good. Before I let you go, Hank, I got to give a shout-out to your student managers, Taya. She does a great job with the Facebook live stream for those that can't make like the two-hour trip or whatever, and keeps us up to date on social media. She does a good job with that.
Yep, those girls do a great job. Taya, Thea, and Brooklyn, they all do a great job of keeping the boys in line and keeping everything organized and keeping all the fans that aren't in attendance updated.
Yep. All right. Anything else on wrestling, Hank? Or we cover everything? Or you mentioned a salt fundraiser. What's that about?
Is it? We sold Softener Salt as a fundraiser, and the boys are going to deliver it.
Oh, okay.
Yep, so...
All right. Well, good luck this week to Team United then. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
Thank you.
That's Hank Ireland, head coach of Team United. I think we'll just wrap up the coach's show here. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Dick Newman will be back in the chair here next Saturday on the coach's show. Have a great day.
Look at all the flowers at Heather Floral and Gifts. Colorful poinsettias in red, pink, white, blue, and even spotted. Plus, look at the floral cooler, peppermint carnations, green roses, multicolored Gerber daisies, all uniquely arranged in holiday Christmas containers. Fly into Heather Floral and Gifts and enjoy all the Christmas flowers. Ho, ho, ho. Have a holly jolly Christmas. Oh, I forgot. We have fresh holly, too. Enjoy the holiday Christmas season at Heather Floral and Gifts in Madison, Dawson, and Montevideo.
Merry Christmas, everyone, from Brian and Wendy at the Lack Parle Farm Bureau Office located East Highway 40, Madison. The stockings have been hung with care, the cookies baked and frosted, the tree has been trimmed, the presents wrapped, and the only thing left is to wish you the merriest of Christmases and the happiest of New Year's from your friends at the Lack Parle Farm Bureau Office in Madison. Great music for Appleton, Holloway, Lewisburg, and Hantho right here on 92.1 FM Q92.
Silver bells, silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city. Hear them ring. Soon it will be Christmas Day. City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air there's a feeling of Christmas. Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile. And down every street corner you'll hear silver bells, silver bells.